doubt him, but I can't live without him. And that is why I love him so. Yes, he's so real to me. He's real. He's real. He's so real to me. You may be seated.
Amen.
It is good to be in the house tonight.
Amen.
I know God's going to feed us. It's what we came here for. So
Amen.
I come expecting, as you should, you know, because you always get what you expect.
That's right.
He always supersedes your expectations. He's not even worried about your expectations. But you better have one coming in this place.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to sing because I love what we get here.
Mm. That's right.
In moments like these, Song 44,
Amen.
In the chorus book.
Amen.
Moments like these, I gotta have some kind of praise on me.
Amen.
Amen. In moments like these, I sing out. Song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up.
Lift up my hands to the Lord.
I love you, Lord, singing I love you, Lord, I love you. One more time, singing. Brother Mike.
What a body we have here. I want to thank the body for your love,
amen,
your
amen.
Concern,
amen.
Your kindness, and the beautiful flowers that you sent.
Amen.
And it really helped me get through this time I'm going through, to know that you guys are praying for me,
amen.
That
amen.
You're thinking about me,
yes.
And I'm thinking, what a body. Nobody cares like you people do, because this is all God.
Amen.
You know, it's been a rough year, you know, through all the losses I've been through this year, but I stood on the word of God.
Yes. That's right.
He got me through it.
Amen.
He gave me the strength, and when I failed, he picked me up.
Amen.
And I praise his holy name.
Amen.
God bless you, Sister Mel.
Good evening, body. I cannot let my last testimony go without telling you what I've learned. Now, that was then. This is now. So I did notice a whole lot of corners were turned when I was away. So it started right before I left with the trump had already been sounded. And then, let me see, what was it? Man, I had it all. Last night, I was up till 3 o'clock listening to these tapes. The trumpet sounded. The midnight cry has already happened.
Amen.
The voice has been heard. And I hear his voice.
Amen.
I wanted to leave my testimony with what I have learned from this message, not from what has happened to me.
Amen.
You know, it is an honor for God to choose me, choose
Amen.
Us. And just to say I love God, it just doesn't seem like enough. But that's all I got. All these filthy rags, that's all I have.
Amen.
But as long as he allows me to come and listen to this message and be a part of this body,
that's right.
That's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
So I appreciate you all. And I can't help but cry because this is just so amazing.
It is amazing.
I mean, Brother Jeremiah talked about that midnight. If the midnight has already happened, then we're in the eighth day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Are you telling me I understand this and I'm a part of this?
Yeah.
It is such a big story. And I'm telling you, just the opportunity to go back and hear these tapes and hear them again and hear them again. I'm like, oh my God, Matthew 25. I was last night. I was like, did he just say what I thought he said? They were asleep and we were awake.
Amen.
I know I have fuel in my lantern.
Amen.
And I'm going to follow this word until I get out of here.
Amen.
God bless you, sis.
That's a testimony.
Sister, all I can say is amen, amen, amen. But my testimony was, Lord, I'm just so thankful for the rest and the peace that we have in the light when there's darkness out there. Not worrying about anything. Your husband does not let you worry about anything. He said he already done it.
Amen.
We already won.
Amen.
This is it. It's over. It is over. I just sat down with my peace. I said, Lord, I'm going to let you fight my battles.
Yeah.
He's already won them. He defeated everything we have. I was like, why would I worry in this time?
Right.
This is not the time to be worried. This is not the time to have your head held down.
Right.
This is the
right.
time that you shout victory.
Yes.
Victory. Because we've already won.
Amen.
So I was just so thankful for that. I don't worry about anything at all.
Amen.
As you said, sister, we're in the eighth day. There's no worrying in the eighth day.
No.
There's no worries in the eighth day. He's done it.
That's right.
You got through all the church hazers. All the work is done.
Yeah.
I was like, is it that easy?
Yeah.
Just to say amen.
Amen.
Just to say amen. That's my only requirement.
Yeah.
Is to say amen. And we have already merged with the body.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we got some guests in the house, and so I'm going to have to keep things to a minimal here. It's good to see you, Brother Jerry Allen.
Amen.
Love when he's in the house. It's always a party. Brother Covey, God bless you, sir.
Amen.
He bought goodies, so I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm chomping at the bit right now.
Amen.
And just let me get these announcements out of the way real quick so we can get to the good stuff.
Amen.
So we've got Sister Christie's
concert
service. Tomorrow night or tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. If you guys go there, you'll hear her play at her magnificent best. And then, man, this thing is just rolling because I just remember when we were back in October talking about all these things, and now we've done past the San Diego
man.
Trip. Thanksgiving's done been wrapped up. All we got's New Year's service, and then that's it. Like,
that's right,
this
man.
Year's a wrap, you know? And it's that's it.
Amen.
One thing on our plate. In order
Amen.
For you to even get any of what we get, it's just, you must be born again, like Brother Lockett
yeah,
does tell you. And I'm so grateful to be here. Let's. And for the kids, we got practice, music practice tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Let's sing 224 out of the chorus, It Is Well With My Soul. And then we'll get Pastor up. Good to be here.
It's good to be here.
When peace like a river,
when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. My helpless
well.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
My sin.
Sin,
oh,
the bliss of this glorious start. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to that cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well.
You know, one of those verses is like a question. Is it well with your soul? And the answer to that is, it is well with my soul. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. We got a lot of things going on, and I'm like, my goodness. I said, Isaiah, sing a couple and give it to me, because we got things to do. But I'm glad as well. I'm glad that God still looks at us and still continues to give us a little bit more. Yes. Every time we come to the house,
amen,
we get better, yes, and we get better,
yes,
and we get better.
Yes.
And what I'm talking about is we're getting better in our understanding.
Yes.
You know, God is continually, see, he's going to reveal himself,
amen,
to us,
Lord,
until we get out of here.
Right.
Our last revelation on this side will be the body change.
That's right.
Amen.
That's the last revelation on this side. And I'm looking for that with everything that lies with me. I'm turning every stone over. I'm looking behind every tree. I'm looking everywhere, because I know when that revelation hits me, like all my other revelations hit me, when that revelation hits me, it's, you know when revelation really hits you? When it starts manifesting itself out through you. That's what Brother Branham said. He said, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. And he does it out through you.
Amen.
So if everything else in that Bible was done through the scripture, was manifested out through human beings, the rapture has to be in human beings as well.
Amen.
So I'm excited about it.
Amen.
I'm excited about the hour we're living in.
Amen.
Oh my, it's later than we think.
Yes.
And God is right on time with everything.
Yes.
Good to have everybody here tonight. Amen. I know we've got Brother Ben here somewhere in the house. I saw him. At first, when I saw Brother Covey, I said, oh, Lord, Brother Covey's got to preach tonight. Ben's not winning. Somebody's going to preach. And then we got Brother Jerry Allen here. Amen. We have him. We got plenty of preachers here. I see Don. I thought I saw Don Parnell come in here. There he is back there. God bless you, Brother Don. So we got plenty of preachers in the house. So I wanted to get us out of the way because, you know, we don't have good home manners. We take over, and I try to, our people just, they forget you got company. So somehow I have to remind them we have company. So I was trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. So it's a combination here. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give it to Brother Jerry Allen, Pastor Allen, and because I know he's got some people who can sing. And then when he finishes, he's going to just give it to Brother Covey, and he can introduce the speaker and do whatever he needs to do to, you know, make that happen. And we know Ben can sing. Brother Ben don't need help. He's got it. So, Brother Allen, if you'd come on and you do your thing.
Amen. Oh, wow. We got quite a few people here tonight. Make me a little bit nervous sitting up here. It's good to see everyone, Brother Covey. It's good to see you. All that came tonight. It's just Brother Benjamin, good to see you. Brother Don Parnell, good to see you back there. All of you, it's good. Good to see you. Thinking about the eighth day, you know, coming down through the body of time. Time is just a measurement of death. So we came through the body of time, a measurement of death, and then after that we stepped into the eighth day. And there's no more light in the seventh day. That door's been closed. Now, if someone hasn't come to recognize their day in this message, all they need to do is just catch up to it. Because God didn't leave you out. So I was looking to see, is David here? David didn't make it. So I really didn't have a lot to say. I think I'm going to pull my dad's trick on you. And Dad was always saying, you know, that blessed is the preacher that can testify without preaching. And so sometimes he would say, a fool is known by the multitude of his words. So Dad always had those sayings, and they were good words sometimes. And what I want to do is just give my time over, and I would do that. And everyone knows Brother Eric Covey, and we'll just bring him on up here, and I just want to say God bless you, and it's always a privilege to be here, and we sure do love Brother Moore and the congregation here. It's always a privilege. So God bless you. Come on, Brother Covey.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Isn't it better than going Christmas shopping? I tell you what, here we get the gift. We don't got to go buy them. That's right. Yeah, I tell you what, there's so much going on. And aren't you glad we're caught up to it to know our day and our message? Like you said earlier, sang that song was really touching me. It is well with my soul. But there's a lot of people out there that's not well with their soul right now. And I got a phone call yesterday, and there's a couple I'd done some work for, and I hadn't seen them in a few years, and oddly, the man's name is Ricky Nelson, you know, so when my phone rings, it comes up Ricky Nelson, you know, and we don't got a lot of older people in here, they don't know Ricky Nelson. But anyway, he called me, and he said, Eric, he said, me and my wife, we were sitting talking the other day, and we were wanting to kind of start getting our hearts right with God, and we're getting older, and these thoughts are crossing our paths, and we got to thinking, who do we know that really has a walk with God and knows the Word of God? And out after 3 or 4 years, I hadn't seen him. He said, Eric, we thought of you, and we thought we better call you. And I tell you what, I could have stepped out of my truck right then and just danced a jig, because they didn't remember me as an alcoholic. They didn't remember me as that filthy mouth worker that came to their house. They remembered me as a son of God. And I thought, wow, what a honor that is, you know. And then last Sunday morning, or 2 Sunday mornings ago, I was on my way to church, And my phone rang, and I'm alone in my van, and there was a man called me, and I'd never met him before in my life, and he got my number from his sister that I knew, and he's going through some tough times. And again, when he called me, it wasn't well with his soul. Right. He was 48 years old, bawling like a little baby, and he said, I know you don't know me, and I know I sound like I'm crazy, but I am scared to death to die and go to hell. And he said, my sister gave me your number and was just wondering if you might could get with me. So I told him, I said, well, I'm heading to church. I said, but I'll get with you tonight. He came to my house, and in 4 hours he was there, and I was good. He talked for 3.5, and I listened. But in order to give somebody help, you got to know where they're coming from. So I listened for 3.5 hours, and buddy, I hit him hard for 30 minutes. And he came to church with me last Sunday. And he said, I've been in a lot of churches, and I've never felt this presence anywhere like I have in this church here this morning. So it's good to have the real thing.
Amen.
It's good to have the only thing that's real in this day. So anyway, be praying for them,
Amen.
Saints. And, you know, some people don't know they're the bride yet. You know, it takes that revelation and, oh, I know. So I'm going to say something right before I bring Brother Ben up. We had a little good fellowship today. You know, it's a privilege to sit with saints of God and hear what's going on.
Amen.
They give you the current events on what's going around in their town. So, but anyway, my dad and mom's not here tonight. So I'm going to tell this story. So it's something that it would probably offend my dad at first, but then I would redeem myself, and then he'd be okay with it. But a few years ago, my dad, many of you know my dad, he's a wheeler dealer. He likes gold and diamonds and pocket knives and anything he can make a dollar on. And for years and years, he collected knives. And he has some of the best pocket knives. He's got these Case Double X red bone, stag handle. He's got these Jim Bowie knives. And I mean, he's got hundreds of just expensive, nice knives. So he always taught me and my brother, he said, boys, always give your best. Always give your best. And he come up to me one day, and he said, Eric, I've got a really nice gift for you. I'm going to give you a knife. And I got excited a little bit because I'd been wanting a good pocket knife. And I always know Dad says, you know, give your best. I'm thinking, he's got some nice knives, man. I know which one I'm thinking, you know, that I'm wanting. So anyway, he reaches in his pocket, and I carry this everywhere. Anyway, he reaches in his pocket, and he hands me this knife. Come up here, Brother Jerry. And remember, he always said, give your best. Now, you're a knife guy, right? Yeah. Does that blade look pretty worn out to you?
Yes, it does. Looks like you've used it.
Yeah. Now, does that handle look broke to you?
It's got a crack there.
Got a crack in it.
Mm-hmm.
And all these blades, they're just, this knife, it's just worn out.
Mm-hmm.
It's broke. And Dad said, always give your best. And I mean, that blade's about half gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to feel unappreciative. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I didn't want to feel unappreciative. But sometimes you can be a brat on the inside. And in my mind, I thought, you got to be kidding, Dad. You going to give me this old knife? You got nice ones, and this is an old broken knife. And then he said, Eric, let me tell you about that knife. He started to cry. He said, this was my daddy's. And this knife he carried everywhere with him. He peeled potatoes with it. He cut up oranges with it, apple slices with it. He sat on the porch and he whittled with it in front of the fireplace through the winter. He always had this close by him. And he said, I just want to let you know, this means a lot to me.
Amen.
So suddenly, it wasn't a piece of junk. I wanted this knife more than the Case XX bone handle and any of them. This meant more to me because of what it meant to my father. And then I got to thinking, if the natural represents the spiritual, and my heaven and my earthly father would give me something like this that meant so much to him, then it was almost like, when I got to thinking deep into it, it was almost just like I seen a little play in my mind take place. And there I am, and here comes my heavenly father. Yes. And I'm starting to think in my head what all he's got and what all he's worth. And he's got this vast domain, and he's got the stars and the moon and the sun, and he's got these great big trees out there, these big redwood trees, and some of them so big you can drive your car through, and these big blue spruce and all these, and then it showed me in my mind, here comes God to me, my heavenly father, and he's, out of all them beautiful trees, he's dragging up to me this old rugged, beat up old dead tree, and it's bloody and it's beat. And even though he could have gave me one of these big redwoods, he said, son, I'm going to give you what's most precious to me. And he goes, here's this old rugged tree. He said, but before you think bad of me for giving you this old worthless thing, and to me, this cross was worthless, but what I hung on that cross meant the world to me, meant everything to me. So I'm giving you this old rugged cross, and it's for you to keep if you'll have it. And like the old rugged cross, I carry that with me too. And I carry this everywhere I go just about. And sometimes I'm afraid I'll lose it. And actually, I did lose it a couple months ago, and I was worried to death. I'm like searching all the drawers and everywhere in the house, but it meant that much to me, you know? So, but I tell you, who's appreciative? For sometimes yes. You don't think it's a real good gift, but after you know the background of it, that's it right. Turns into one of the greatest. Amen. Boy, I'm sure glad I texted a few people and told them Brother Ben was going to be here tonight. Brother Ben, why don't you just make your way up here to the piano? And we practiced a little song this afternoon. Y'all just stay seated, relax, and you're in for a real treat.
Amen.
Yeah. Boy, I see a lot of gray hair out there tonight. There's Brother Don back there. I shot him a text, and I tell you, it's always good to see you, brother.
Amen.
It's always good to see my brother, Mike, here. And, you know, they've got Mike, and then we got Mike sitting next to him. He's our neighbor, and he said he'd like to come tonight.
Amen.
So we got a real treat for you. So anyway, we're going to sing a song. It's called The Evening Light. And this is your song. If you're the bride of Christ and you believe this message for this day, this is for you.
Oh, we heard that there was a message, oh, to come in the last days. It was a shout to wake the bride up and give her rapturing faith. Get back to the word. This voice cried out. We'd all been led astray. Come out of her. Don't partake of her sins. Separate yourselves today. Oh, the evening light is shining all over the land today. The table set for the wedding supper. Soon the bride will take her place. Get everything under the blood. Tomorrow it might be too late. The coming of the Lord is nigh, and this could be the day. Those who've done are gone on before us, and they fought to win the race. Though compelled by the sword, they didn't lose their reward. It's a promise of another day, when those in the ground shall hear the call. They're gonna come up out of the grave. That resurrection day is dawning. The rapture could take place today. Oh, the evening light is shining all over the land today. The table set for the wedding supper. Soon the bride will take. Oh, get everything under the blood. Tomorrow it might be too late. The coming of the Lord is nigh, and this could be the day. Oh, the evening light is shining all over the land today. The table set for the wedding supper. Soon the bride will take her place. Get everything all under the blood. Tomorrow it might be too late. The coming of the Lord is nigh, and this could be the day. The coming of the Lord is nigh, and this could be the day.
Yes. Boy, some of these saints of God, when they get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they pick up their pen and write, oh my. Oh, great. But isn't it just good? It's just good. Amen. And it's one day it's going to be great. Because I'm ready for that last revelation. And I'm telling you, I don't know why it's not happened yet. Because I do believe in a body change. I believe, like that song says, one day the dead that are in the ground, they're going to rise up. And they're going to take that body change. And there's going to be that meeting. And that's the meeting that we've been waiting on.
Yes.
It's the one that can't be here in a church. It's the one that the churches have preached about all these years. And it's that meeting that's going to be so great that it's going to have to take place in the air.
Amen.
We might have to sing that at the end of the service. Remind me to. Brother Ben, it's my privilege and honor not to just be your friend, but to be your brother and be part in the same body. Give Brother Ben a welcome here tonight. Go ahead and make your way.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Yes.
Mama, why don't you come up here and sing with me tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Sure appreciate the Lord.
Yes.
And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Everybody happy?
Amen.
Well, you all sure sound like happy folks. I promise you that. And believe me, in my years of traveling and ministry, I know what the unhappy sound like, and you ain't them. Amen. Amen. And so it's nice to see everybody, and just want to say what a privilege it is to be able to come your way again. And I certainly want to say thank you to Brother Moore and for the church body for receiving us, and appreciate Brother Eric. He's the man of a thousand stories. He's had so many experiences, and he meets so many different people. I mean, there's just so many things. He's so loaded down with many, many different things. It's always a blessing to hear what the Lord's doing in other parts of the world. And you know, even in your own backyard, sometimes that's just as much a blessing to me as hearing about things overseas and all of that.
Amen.
And so I want to say greetings to everybody. I see Mike back there, and man, all the little church from Little Bethlehem and Brother Parnell. And there are just so many of you. I love you, every one of you, every single one of you. I love you, and I'm so happy that we get to have service together tonight.
Yes.
Amen. And so it's my privilege to be able to have my mama come sing. Amen. So come up here. You'll use this mic right here if you want. Is that one better? Yeah.
That way, if she takes off shouting.
Yeah. Hey, she's been known to do that, don't you all think? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so we thank the Lord. Amen.
I have shouted in here before.
Yes, sir.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living Word's made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me. Then I rose up to pray. Lord, for all of His mercy to me. Went to Jerusalem, our Lord went. There were praises to Him. To the people who received the Lord, Him they highly esteem. But the Pharisees gathered there said, make them be still.
But Jesus said the rocks would surely cry out.
Let them shout as they will.
And you say, man,
why shouldn't I
praise the Lord? He's been so good to me.
The living Word's made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of His mercies to me.
We shouldn't sit with our heads hung down. God is with us now, giving strength to the brightest day she's found.
And the manifested sons of God this world surely will see. Cause the rapture has taken us away from death. That was the last sin of me.
Praise the Lord.
He's been so good to me.
Amen.
The living Word's made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of His mercies to me.
And I rose up to praise the Lord for all of His mercies to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? We got all kinds of reasons and what more to praise the Lord. In the things familiar, we find security, resisting all the changes days and years can bring. When God decides to lead you through an open door, inviting you to walk in realms you never known before. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door. The Lord will go before you into a greater power you've never known before.
Amen.
Hear the Spirit calling to wake the living dead, to reach those huddled masses who cry out for living bread. Rise, almighty army, take up thy shield and sword. The Father lifts his golden lamp inside the open door. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door. The Lord will go before you into a greater power you've never known before. Where he leads me, I will follow. Sing it with me if you know it. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he that great with him all the way. Listen to this. I'll go with him through the open door. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Jeff, is that you sitting out there? Come sing "I Just Started Living" with me. You've sang it 1,000 times. I know you have. What key you do it in, Jeff? Been a long time. You remember the words? You know, me and this guy, he don't know it, but we go back probably 30 years, me and Jeff. When I used to travel and sing and in trios and things like that when I was a boy, him and I crossed paths all the time. We've sang in places together, but never sang together. That ends right here tonight. Me and you are going to have a little a little time. What key you doing, you know?
Danny does it E flat to E, but I can't do it that high. So we're going to have to jack it down.
All right, how about C?
Try that.
I just want to live it.
We'll give it a try. If I mess up, we'll start it over.
If I had hope only in this world below, I'd be covered with troubles. There'd be no place to go.
Same boy.
But when I met Jesus and started believing, I got filled with his love, cleansed by his blood.
Yeah.
I just started living. Oh, I just started living. I found me a brand new life. He changed my direction.
He changed my direction.
Washed away,
all of my pride.
My days are getting brighter. I just started living. Now don't you look at me funny.
Yeah. Sing a song.
You old prophet of doom.
Yeah. So I'm feeling.
And I'm feeling no gloom. Cause I got the Spirit, and it's totally thrilling. I give up on doubting.
Got
no time for doubting.
Yes,
I just started living. I just started living. Oh, I found me a brand new life. He changed my direction.
He changed my direction.
Now he's washed away
washed away.
I'm a newborn believer. It's a holy infilling.
It's a holy infilling.
My loads are getting lighter. My days are getting brighter. I just started living. Whoa. I just started living.
Oh, yeah. Woo, that's all right, boy. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. See, this kind of stuff makes me want to get a bus and get on the road. Amen. Y'all are cordially invited to hit the road with us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together one more time if we could. We're just going to do so in respects of the word of the Lord. And again, sure appreciate everybody. Brother Jerry, good to see him. Amen. So many close, personal, dear friends here tonight. Brother Jerry, Brother Eric, I sure appreciate that nice introduction. It's an honor to be your friend as well. And sure appreciate getting to play for you. Amen. It's nice to be able to be in service to other people. I like to sing and play and all those kind of things, but I also like to do it for other people too. I like to see them get joy in it as well, and I've always enjoyed that. Amen. And so we just thank the Lord. And tonight, if God will help me, I'm going to preach to you on the bride's thanksgiving. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, I'm going to read three verses with you, and we're going to let you have your seats and then get right on in to the message tonight. Everybody happy?
Amen.
Oh, all six of you are going to be blessed. Let me try that one more time. Are you happy?
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, I want you to listen at the words that, thank you, I want you to listen to the words Paul says here very carefully. As these are quite important to understand what we want to talk about tonight.
He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And help me, somebody. Again, I say rejoice. Now, you know, for many of these churches around that don't believe in rejoicing and praising the Lord, they're going to have a hard time with Paul right here. As he makes it pretty plain. Not just rejoice, but again, I say. In other words, in case y'all didn't hear me the first time, rejoice. Amen. Praise the Lord. For, he said, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The moderate word, listen to the way this puts this. It simply means like to be equitable, to be fair, to be gentle, to be mild. See, Christians that live a godly life, they live an unassuming life. They live mild, they live gentle, they live humble, they live equitable. They don't put themselves above somebody else and put other people down. They live right in the middle if they can live there. So Paul said, let all of that, your moderation, your gentleness and fairness, let that be known unto all men. For the Lord is at hand.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. I'm just waiting on you to say amen there.
Amen.
Uh-huh. By prayer.
Yes.
Supplication.
Amen.
Now, I'm pretty sure y'all got a Bible, so... All that can read, raise your hand. Amen.
Amen.
With thanksgiving.
Yes.
Now, friends, where do we get this idea? And where did this idea come amongst those that believe this end time message? That we're in the Word now. We're in the revelation now. So we should quieten down. No more gifts of the Spirit. No more anointing of the Holy Ghost. No more inspiration. No more discernment. You know where it comes from? The devil. Satan's what convinced a lot of us to lay down those spiritual qualities that we knew were true.
Amen.
Brother Bram never done away with the gifts. He told us how to use them correctly.
Amen.
Right. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Let's pray together over the Word. And while your heads are bowed this evening, if you'd just like to be remembered in prayer, some need in your heart, would you lift your hand to the Lord and amen. My hand's right up there with you. Father, you see our many needs and you see where we're at tonight, Lord, and all of our conditions. And we just know that we are a needy people of you, Lord. And Father, it does not matter north, south, east, west. No matter our race or color or creed or gender, you are God and you look not upon and regard man's person, but you look upon the condition of our faith and our heart. Lord, we are offering to you every ounce of faith and courage and believing we can, but help thou our unbelief tonight that we might be a strong body of Christ, an army of the Lord, wielding the sword of the Holy Spirit, taking on the challenge of the hour. Lord, as we look into your word tonight, may the power of the living God just come and reveal, discern, and open up and deliver and free the heart from any condition in any way whatsoever, Lord, that might be sitting here bound up tonight. May tonight be the gospel trumpet of liberation for that person. And Lord, for every hand that was raised, may the Spirit of God go down to that hand, and may you bless in a significant manner your great blessing to their lives. And Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to come into this place tonight to worship you. Speak to us, Lord. Anoint me, Father. You see my body, my health, my strength, and all that I am as a man. I am limited and finite, but thou art God. Anoint me tonight to get out of the way, that you might speak through me, Lord, to be a vessel used by you to do the things that we need to do as your children. And so, Lord, open our hearts to receive. And as we give, may we be open to receive as we commit it all to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of the believing children of God said,
amen.
Amen. Now that's a good Pentecostal amen. You remembered from the last time. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Yeah, you remembered. I wouldn't let you sit down till you give me a good one. Amen. 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 It's good to see Mike back there. Mike, I don't know how you keep that full head of hair, but I want the secret, boy. I want the secret. Amen. She'll appreciate the Lord. Now, I'm going to try to just be straightforward about this. Now, I don't know exactly maybe what kind of preaching you're used to, or, you know, I don't know what kind of angle to come at sometimes when I visit congregations that you know, we know each other, but, you know, you've maybe only heard me preach a few times or once or something like that. So I just let you know I can get kind of tough. But I'm actually a very mild person out of the pulpit. Just under the anointing, I can get kind of mean. So if I snarl at you, it's because I love you, not because I'm trying to hurt you, okay? But what I want you to understand tonight is that this is not a rebuke for those that aren't worshiping necessarily, but this is to show us the benefit and the need for entering into godly worship and to continue godly worship. Because, you know, we take the words, the very words that we use when we speak about God, G-O-D, God. Well, that if we use that in the English like we know it, it simply means an object of worship. God himself, before the foundations of the world, couldn't even really be God, G-O-D, God, because there was nothing there to worship him. So he was just the eternal Elohim, just God dwelling there with all of his thoughts and his attributes and those kind of things. And so we know that the first thing that he made was the angels of the Lord. One of the first things he created, Brother Bram said in Christ the Mystery, to my opinion, he said was the angels of God. Right. Then as they began to worship him, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, then he came into the spot of being G-O-D, God, or an object of worship. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, notice when God begins to move into this avenue of worship, notice, Brother Jerry, that before the foundation of the world, amen, the Bible tells us that the Lamb was slain in the mind of God before there was a sun, a moon, a star, a speck of stardust, or any planet or anything. God, right here in his eternal thoughts, had already slain Jesus, provided a propitiation for the sins of fallen mankind, humankind, amen. And the Bible said that the sons of God shouted for joy.
Amen.
Now, we know what that looked like when Job came in the presence of Almighty God after his long trial. Then the Holy Spirit told him, stand up on your feet and talk to me like a man. And he said, where was you, amen, when I laid the foundation of this earth? Hallelujah. Amen. And the sons of God, he said, as the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Amen. You remember that the reason they were shouting was because they saw that in the program of God there would be a lamb provided for their sin. They knew that they would have to come to time. They knew they would come and take fallen bodies. They knew that sin would enter into this world. You see, in that part of God like that, we knew all things. Amen. But remember, we bypassed the eternal condition to come down here into the sex-born body, the condition of sin that we live in, coming through the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Whether we like this or not, everyone has bit off that same tree. Amen. That is why you take a person, I don't care how good they are, how many good things they do, there's always a little shade of bad hiding in there. And I don't care how bad a person is. They could be the rottenest human being on the face of the planet. So low down, the dogs won't even bark their name. But there'll be little good spots hiding in there from time to time. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Amen. That's the human condition. Amen. Now, that doesn't give me much to shout about. That doesn't give me much to praise the Lord about. Brother Jeff, when I look at me, I know me. I live with me. Amen. There's nothing here that makes me rejoice. But when I realize that this body is only a product of the plan of God that will bring me into the fullness of who I am supposed to be, that, my brother, that, my sister, is a reason to rejoice.
Amen.
You see, all worship and rejoicing should have a foundation of it.
Yes.
And you remember, this is where Pentecost failed. Whenever the apostolics, Pentecostals, the independents, when they tried to take all of that moving of the Holy Spirit and just throw it out there, shout and worship and rejoice, and they had absolutely no foundation whatsoever.
Amen.
You know, for me, I'm kind of this way. I don't mind if a person feels like that, you know, they want to holler praise the Lord or glory to God. Hey, listen, you take your liberty here tonight.
Amen.
Amen. If you feel crying coming on, you cry.
Right.
You feel like shouting, shout. Amen. We are here so the Lord can bless us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We are here so God can bless us and bring us to something. Amen. And if you need encouragement and you feel like running around here and saying glory to God, amen, just pick an aisle, which one you want to go to. Amen. Amen. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. Just do what the Lord leads you to do. Amen. And what I'm trying to say to you is that we cannot be people that begin to enter into the worship of the Lord based upon the foundation of emotionalism. Amen. Brother Parnell and I know very well, because him and I both have traveled around the world and we've seen it in so many different countries. Brother Moore, I'm sure, amen, you're right there in that same ship with us. Amen. You go to one place, amen, if they come like from Africa, for example, where they're in the tribal worship and the voodoo and all of those things in Jamaica, where in their worship they do a lot of shouting and jumping. When they become Christians, they just carry that right on over. Amen. That is a product of emotionalism. Emotionalism is not worship.
Amen.
Being emotional is not worshiping the Lord. Amen. Being loud or being soft or having some emotional output, that is not true worship before God. Amen. But every time in the Bible that you see someone begin to worship God, it is based upon a true, genuine foundation, amen, of an experience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Something God has done for that person individually, and now they have a reason to rejoice.
Amen.
My, that was a mouthful. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, you realize when the Holy Ghost goes to moving on an individual, they feel the rain of the Holy Spirit on their flesh. You recognize there's people around the ranks of this message to tell you to quieten down.
Right.
What are you being so emotional for? What are you being so loud for? Well, you see, I understand where some of them might be coming from. Some of them might be afraid that people will get carried away.
Right.
Some of them might be afraid that they might become fanatical. It's amazing to me that when they become fanatical on that quiet, dead Methodist side, don't bother them too bad.
Right.
Amen. When they become intellectual
right.
and troublemakers,
right.
and they're not burden bearers by no means, but burden placers. They don't bother them at all. But, oh, just make sure you stay quiet. We're in the revelation now. We're in the revelation of the Word.
Right.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Because as a boy, I grew up seeing this sign above your head here. And I wondered for many years, what that mean? Because God would say, be still and know that I'm the Lord. This is the same God that told them to march around Jericho and shout and scream as loud as they could at the end of 7 days. Same God that said the Lord has gone up with a shout. Lord, if you watch Jesus and you watch God, amen, manifest himself in that human body, Jesus cried all the time.
Amen.
He was constantly in an emotional state. He was moved when he looked over Jerusalem and realized the people were not catching the message of the hour. He was moved when he was standing there at the grave of Lazarus. But nothing that Jesus did didn't have a foundation behind it. There was always substance. There was always reason why he was being emotional. But we know when we come to church, because of the time we're living in, there are a lot that would be emotional for emotional sake. So to drum up faith, they think they got to get louder to get God's attention. Hey, he's not deaf. Jesus ain't deaf. And he hears your heart if you don't speak a word. But at the same time, if all you got is an old traditional dry-eyed confession, then I suggest you get loud yesterday. Not today, yesterday. Right, do the opposite. Take the opposite of whatever it is that you cater to. Do the opposite of it. Now, notice how that when we come to this particular time period, that when the revelation of the Son of Man is going to be revealed in the last day, and now we're going to break into the opening of the seven seals. We know that the seals, of course, are rolled up scrolls like this, and you break the seventh one, therefore you loose all the other ones, and then you can see the mystery that is wrote on the inside, right?
Amen.
Well, when the seventh seal breaks, remember there is silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. And there is a lot of people that think that silence is still going on. See, when the revelation broke, nothing could move, nothing could speak, Brother Jerry, because God didn't want nobody or nothing giving away the mystery. Everybody be quiet now. Jesus is going to speak. Brother Bram said, not even an angel flapped a wing. Nothing, not heaven, nowhere. Why? When the lion roars in the jungle, everything shuts up.
Amen.
Because the king is about to say something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Once that silence had come to its place and God had said all he needed to say, then the silence was broken. Would you like to see one of those places? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. Now, this is just a random place I'm picking, but you know, this kind of goes along with the idea of this. Revelation 7, verse 12. Now, you say, well, now, Brother Ben, you know, the silence is still going on. Is Brother Bram still here? If he's still here, the silence is going on. If he's gone, it's broken. That silence has been broken for many, many years. Or don't you believe that John took the book and had a voice? Because you know, some folks, all they can read to is Revelation 10, 7. They don't see no further than that. But there are other verses in that 10th chapter. The last I read, Brother Nate, there was a voice come out of John. And he spake, give me the little book. You understand? That's when the silence is broken for you.
Amen.
When the mystery is revealed to you,
Amen.
When the silence is broken to you, hallelujah,
yes.
is when you begin to recognize,
Amen.
That's my book.
Amen.
You understand? This is why some people can't overcome lust. This is why they can't live holy. This is why they do all kinds of all manners of evil and drink and smoke and cuss and lie and can cheat and all kinds of things. Don't you come telling me that Christ has such a bride that lives in filth. The possession, listen to me carefully, the possession of that title deed means that you possess every element around you, even these elements. When you got people that can't control their tongue, when they lie all the time, make excuses for it, gossip all the time. This is that part where you need to know I love you now, okay? Keep coming. When you got people that can't live right, won't live right, make a bunch of excuses why they can do all manners of evil, that person has not yet recognized that they're a possessor of heavens and earth. It's literally just that plain and simple. Now, as deep as us message people like to pretend we are, there are people probably sitting even here right now tonight that struggle, does God love me? Am I really saved? How do I pray? Do I know God's hearing me pray? You see, our depth should be so deep that it should take us to the root and the foundation of who we really are. Because listen to me carefully. This message has zero, none, no value whatsoever if it can't change you.
Amen.
Words amen in case you forgot it. If this message cannot produce a change in your life,
Amen.
Then why do we even follow this prophet? Why do we even follow and obey this message of the hour?
Amen.
What's the purpose of it? Let's pile it up like cordwood, like kindling wood, and burn it up.
Amen.
If the message of the hour cannot produce a holy life out of us, what good is it?
Right.
Praise the Lord, somebody.
Amen.
If it cannot produce enough power to cause you to love your neighbor,
right.
Cause enough power in you to be able to forgive
Amen.
The worst of those that have been trespassed against you.
That's right.
Woo! Preach, Brother Ben.
Amen.
Right? This message should be able to produce that in our lives.
Amen.
Right? And
Amen.
Those that are possessors of that title deed, they have the ability to possess that in their self.
Yes.
You don't need 48 preachers standing around you, laying their hands on you and speaking in tongues over you and prophesying over you and seeing angels of the Lord flying around and lights flashing everywhere. All you need to do is recognize the silence has been broken.
Amen.
Once you find your voice, then you'll know who you are.
Amen.
Right? Because remember, this is the day of the spoken word.
Amen.
You ought to be able to speak yourself into whatever condition you need to be in. Woo! Glory to
Amen.
God. Now we preach an eighth day, Brother Eric. Now watch this again. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. Now, this is not exactly in line, but this is the same idea. The same thing happens after the breaking of the seals. Saying,
Amen.
Well, three of you got it. Let's try that again. Saying,
Amen.
Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Now, why, if God doesn't believe in worship, what are these heavenly beings doing it for?
Right.
This is what I've never understood. Why do we come to church and expect to find a routine?
Amen. Come on.
You know, I tell people, if you come to church, you put your right arm up all the time, put your left one up a little while.
Yeah.
If you're an amen, 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 be a hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to do to break that rut, get out of the rut.
Amen.
God don't want the bride in a rut of worship. Amen. He wants her to be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
Amen. It ought to be free for us to be able to worship God in the way we feel led to. And to do it as an individual. Because your individual worship means something to God. Maybe you don't think it is, but it does.
Amen.
Amen. My. Listen to this now. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Let's turn there. And I want you to listen at what Paul says here. Now, these are some beautiful words that he tells us about, you know, the Christian church. This should apply to all of us, actually. Amen. Colossians 2 and 7. He says, rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith as you have been taught.
Amen.
So Paul believed in a fivefold ministry. He didn't believe in scroll readers, readers of the law of Moses, men commissioned to do the reading for the Sunday morning service. Hello? He believed in preachers. Those that could take the light of God of that day and spread it to the others that have been faithfully taught by the Word, they could spread that ministry out to others. He believed in it then. He believes in it now.
Amen.
In my day, tape recorders could never replace a preacher. CDs cannot replace preachers. MP4s, MP3s. No mechanical device can replace a preacher.
Amen.
Oh, and I know some of you are saying amen because you think I'm nailing Jeffersonville to the wall. Let's go a little further. There is no streaming service from no preacher in this message. There is no Facebook or Twitter or Instagram message that will ever replace a true fivefold ministry preaching to the elect of God. But you know, friends, in this day and age, people can hop church and never leave their Barca lounger. All they got to do, amen, is just hit the little red X and change to, and just pick out what they want to go to next time. Amen. That's not the way God wants the bride established. He wants her to be rooted and established in the faith.
Amen.
Not depending on some kind of a self-made, church-made, man-made system, but to hear from the Holy Ghost, from anointed men of God. The Bible called them the voice of many waters. Why are they a voice? They've claimed that title deed. They've broken that silence, and now they're speaking the oracles of God. Notice, as ye have been taught. Now watch this. Now you think people like this? This is the quiet bunch, right? This is the non-Pentecostal group. They don't shout. They don't holler praise. They don't say nothing. Wait a minute now. Let's get Paul in here. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Shows that the real saint of God that is rooted, established, and grounded and has been taught correctly will not just have a little thanksgiving. They're not just going to have a little praise. I am convinced that some people in the message of the hour, they come to church and they have an amen quota for the week. They come Wednesday night, they've got 14 amens laid aside. Amen. And they, you know, they amen, amen, and they're keeping score and count of how many amens they've given. And then by the time they get to Sunday morning, you know, they've almost run out. Right. God forbid in Bible studies, some of them will say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And when I had my Bible studies back home in Manchester, I encouraged them to worship. Sure I did. While I was teaching, I'd say, if something hits you, say, hallelujah. Don't be afraid. We're in church. Right? But a servant of God that has a real foundation within him or her, they are abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, the more that God reveals to them,
amen,
the more thankful they are.
Amen.
Well, then tell me where this comes from, people sitting in church like this. Sometimes I want to go check their pulse. I'm fearful they've died right there in the pew. Praise the Lord. No emotion, no nothing that stirs them, nothing that breaks them free from the just the regular run of the day.
Amen.
Do you understand what worship does for you?
Amen.
Scientifically, friends, worship actually shuts off the thinking part of your brain.
Amen.
And do you know the one of the best ways to rest your mind is not think? Has anybody ever been sitting in a restaurant and they're playing the music so loud, you look and turn to somebody and you say, I can't even... There's a reason for that. And worship, music, and singing is one of God's ways, hallelujah, to rest like Israel rested the land, to also rest our minds. Rest the mind, you'll rest the body.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. How much better of a week could we have if we would just get loose in church?
Yeah.
You know, the prophet of God said we used to get our exercise in church.
Yeah.
So now some people get their sleep. Amen. Right?
Amen.
Nothing enthuses them anymore. Nothing excites them anymore.
Right.
They're just kind of ho-hum. It goes to prove the revelation of it has not really struck your heart like it should.
That's right.
Right. Now, go to chapter 4, verse 2, Colossians 4 and 2. And I want you to listen to this. Oh, my, praise the Lord. Am I doing okay?
Amen.
You're not going to throw me out yet?
Yes.
We're doing all right then, all right. Just give me good fair warning, you know. Amen. I'll go peacefully and quietly. Just give me a heads up. All right, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with. Wow. So again, Paul is exhorting us to not only stay in a constant state of prayer, but to do so with thanksgiving. You say, Brother Ben, why in the world is such a thing like this important to us tonight? Because you are living, my friend, in a day of an anointing that makes people unthankful. Ungrateful. Remember, the last days, perilous times will come. Some will be lovers of pleasure, lovers of their own self, boasters, proud, unthankful. They're not grateful for nothing. They sit in the seat of the scornful 24/7. Help me, somebody. All day it's a complaint. All day it's a grumble. Always one negative thought after another. And then you drag that stuff into church and expect the preacher to pull you out of it. I got news for you. It's not the preacher's job. It's not the song leader's job. It's not these musicians' job. It's yours.
Amen.
Amen. It's your responsibility to stay prayed up and thankful. You say, well, I have a hard time being thankful. Did you wake up this morning? Start there. Hallelujah. If your eyes are open, just start there and say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Grumblers, you know that's what kept Moses out of the promised land. I'll leave that alone. I better not go into that. All right, now watch out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Now, as you're turning there, listen to this. Brother Bram is referring back to Isaac, Eliezer, and Rebekah. The message called Time of Decision, he's talking about how that the beast that she's on represents a power. That power represents the new birth or the change of your soul, the change of your heart, where Christ dwelleth in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our power. He said that once Eliezer brought that girl, that camel, and said she jumped up on that camel to meet Isaac, the only way that that power would carry her to see her bridegroom, she had to water it, Brother Jerry.
That's right.
And do you know what he called watering it? Praise. Praise and adoration and worship.
Right.
Well, you know, I figured on a message like this, if I had a bunch of people that were ready to praise, y'all be tearing the walls out right now. What you looking at me like this for? Oh, you're guilty. Oh, I get it. I see. All right. But just be careful. Be careful. We'll have the altar call later. You can get straightened out later. But just keep everything at a dull roar right now. But you say, Brother Ben, I'm just not an emotional person. I don't lie in the house of God. You're just not emotional about what you don't want to be emotional about. And you are emotional about what you want to be. I guarantee one thing. If your grandkid was kicking a soccer goal and making the goal, you'd be... But the word of God can go straight forth from the platform. The hallelujahs and the power of God fall from heaven above. And people sit there like a mule staring at a new gate. And yet we say that we're supposed to repeat the book of Acts. Do you all reckon that if Peter, James, and John walked into many of our message churches, they'd sit down around and maybe on the back there and look around and say, hey, John, this is church like we go to. Maybe one of the boys, Peter, would say, hey, man, that reminds me of my kind of preaching up there. Or you reckon they'd come into some of our churches and look around and go, where in the world are we? Did we step into an alien world? Have green men taken our brains and moved us to Mars? Where are we? You see, the church that understands you are watering a power. I ought to give you another one since you ain't ready for that one. The Bible said that Abraham received the promise of the Son of Man. He was also a part of the revelation of the Son of Man. Are you with me? He was also a part of the revelation of a body change. But the Bible said he grew strong. Doing what? Quoting the word? No. Going to church? No. Giving praise to God. Well, you know, I'm just a very quiet, laid-back person. Okay, start small then. Look around, make sure nobody's watching you, and put your hand up, count to five, and put it back down. You have taken your first step into a much larger world. Amen! Amen. Somebody tell me why. Why would we let Jesus sit with dirty feet around our churches? Why would we not entertain him with our love and our adoration? From the very beginning of the whole creation, everything in creation, everything, you understand that? Not just one thing, everything was designed so he could have this kind of relationship with us. Hey man, that's what he wanted from the very beginning. Why would we come sit in church and not give to him? You realize in Brooklyn, New York, the prophet of God said that the Holy Spirit is longing and begging for someone to love him. And I'll ask you, why would we make him beg for something he rightfully deserves? So Rebecca, listen to this. A camel is a very special built animal. It doesn't have small vessels inside of it like humans do. Our vessels are so small and our veins are so small and those things that we got to constantly hydrate ourselves. But a camel's veins is open way big up where that the water could just keep flowing. And hydration can keep flowing. That's why they can go for days and days and days and days. People, when I was a boy, we used to think that they kept the water in their humps. But that's full of fat to give them energy and strength. So this camel was designed with open channels. It wasn't designed in a restrictive manner. Woo! Hope somebody's hearing my parable. The veins wasn't small. And you didn't have to keep on making it a deacon. patting it on the back. All you had to do is just give it one good drink. Right. Glory to God. Amen. And it was designed to stay moving. Amen. That's what the Spirit of God has always done. Glory to God. He has always been moving. Amen. The moment you stop him, you've got a denomination right there. I don't care if you got message over the door or what you claim. The very second you stop the Holy Ghost from having his way, you become a denomination. And do you know that people can become a denomination unto themselves? You don't have to have a group to be a denomination. You can become one to yourselves. Just develop an old stubborn attitude. Just sit on the preach and refuse to worship and refuse to clap and sing songs. Refuse to amen. Refuse to participate. Listen, church is not a spectator sport. Glory! It is a participation sport. When you come to church, you're supposed to participate. Right. Water that camel, Rebecca. Now watch this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Don't worry. I've only got 2 more hours to preach. It ain't no problem. We'll go again. For all things are for your sakes. That, I love this, the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So in other words, because of the abundance of grace that has been displayed to me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of the abundant grace that God gives to me, not just the day I got saved or received the Holy Ghost or whatever you want to say, but the abundant grace that He shows me Monday and then Tuesday and then Wednesday and then Thursday and then Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and then He starts it all over away and 52 weeks of the year, and He just keeps going 12 months after 12 months, and He just keeps pouring grace out on my life. That abundant grace causes my thanksgiving to redound to others.
Amen.
You see, when people don't live in grace, they don't know how to really praise Him right.
That's right.
You watch, folks, when they live under the bondage of the law, do's and don'ts, and I got to do this to be a good boy and do this to be a good girl. Watch them when they come to church. They bring all of that legalistical baggage with them. And Brother Nate, nobody can tell them to worship. Nobody can tell them they're free. Nobody can tell them you've got freedom. They sit right there with them bags around them, their hands weighted down, their mouth weighted down, their mind weighted down.
Amen.
And the thing you have to understand is you don't have to live that way. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll get over on the other side in disgrace. That's not your problem. That's God's problem. Let Him handle that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Let's turn over a few chapters from chapter 4. Chapter 9, verse 11. You like the Bible?
Yes.
I do too. I love reading it. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Paul says here, being enriched in everything. Oh, I love this word. It means to make rich. Use of spiritual riches. But it means to be richly furnished. You realize in a message called Show Us the Father, somewhere around 1955, Brother Bam says that he's taking Psalms 1. A man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. He said that everything that that seed was, right that very moment, when that seed is placed in the ground, you've got adoption, manifestation, you've got fruit, you've got all of the energy, you've got everything that's in that seed. Right at that moment it's planted, it's right there. There is not an apple tree on the face of this planet ever that once it starts growing up, does it need a man to go over and start duct taping apples at the end of the limbs?
No.
Nor do we need a bunch of these egg-headed preachers that are too smart for their own good trying to tell everybody how to live right when they can't do it themselves.
Right.
Hey, buddy, the way I feel about it is if you can't put up, shut up. Men that stand behind here, you better be living a holy life and walking according to the Bible and the Word of God, or you have no business back here until you get your life straightened out.
Amen.
Right, but we've had thousands of them invade these pulpits. And their whole message is do what I say, not what I do. You'll never produce a bride with such a life. I said you will never produce a bride with such a life. Never. Because like begets like. Woo, glory.
Amen.
If you want to give something, you got to have something.
Amen.
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 So in order to be able to produce the bride life, you got to have somebody that's got it, given it.
Amen.
This is where I love in spoken words, which you'll see the prophet of God said, the brides are not repellent to the word, they're absorbents of the word. That's the way the real elected is. Pour it on me, man of God. I don't care how hard it comes. I don't care how sweet it comes. Pour it on me. Hallelujah. They don't want to be right. Amen. Notice being enriched, which means to be thoroughly, richly furnished. So everything we have need of was in you at your new birth. Now, friends, you would limit that. I would limit that. But when it comes to God, that is limitless. How y'all think that Adam could walk on the water and speak mountains and into different places and pull trees up from the ground and change them over and no leaves wither and all that? Because he was living in an expression of all that God had furnished in mankind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's very energy, his very life was pulsating through Adam. And Adam could speak. And things had to obey it. Uh-huh. Well, since we have a second man, Adam, and that second man, Adam, has not only restored all of that as well, but that second man, Adam, is supposed to be living in you. And you, 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 and me. And if he's living in here, then shouldn't we be doing the same things? What Jesus say? The works that I do? Why? It's the same life. So if we can find a place where Jesus rejoiced, then we should be able to do the same thing. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Notice you're thoroughly furnished with everything you have need. Now listen to this in Jehovah Miracles. He said, every day is a thanksgiving for us. Every hour is a thanksgiving day. Why? I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Notice again, he's preaching here in Revelation chapter 4, and he said, oh, praise be to God. He says, well, I guess it's appropriate for a minister to worship God from the pulpit, he says, with thanksgiving and praise, honor, and might. Now, you know, this really stands out to me because I notice an influx of ministry. They preach a lot of good things, but none of it ever seems to rejoice them. They talk, they read the quotes, they stand up there and they go through a whole series, and you never hear them stop and just say, glory to God. Makes me wonder, why doesn't the word they preach enthuse them? Well, if it doesn't enthuse them, how's it supposed to enthuse you? Hello, somebody, don't get quiet on me. I know y'all can do better than this. Come on. If it doesn't enthuse me, if I'm not excited about what I'm preaching, how are you going to tap into what I've got? If you listen to Brother Branham just didn't stand there and talk. He'd hit certain places and go, hallelujah. Why? Because the word was affecting him. And how did he communicate that? Worship. And it should do the same for us. Thank you, Lord. Now, listen to this in Key to the Door. Now, you know, when people talk about communion, often when they're talking about communion, they refer to the little cups and the washing of the feet and the taking of the bread, right? The articles, the natural articles. But listen to the way Brother Branham words this about communion. He said, communion means thanksgiving for the Protestant. He said, see, the Catholic is taking Mass in hoping that God forgives them. But he said, the Protestant takes communion with thanksgiving for they already know that God has forgiven them. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. I guess it's appropriate for a minister to worship from the pulpit. So when they come taking Mass, rubbing their beads and all these things, they're hoping, oh God, please God, please God, I've tried to be a good boy this year. I've tried to be a good girl this year. The priest has forgiven me of my sins. I've paid my novenas. I've lit my candles. I've kissed Peter's toe 1,000 times this year. Please God, have mercy. Now you say, that's awful. It is. But you know what's even worse to me? When a bunch of people that are claiming to be in the enlightened age come walking in the age of Aquarius, you know that's where we're living? Where the revelation's pouring out. Where there is no hidden secret to you. Come on, somebody, don't you get quiet on me. Right? Living in that kind of atmosphere and walking in these church doors with the very same attitude. Oh, I hope I'll make the rapture. I hope I'll make a body change. I hope a third pull. I hope I can get to the first pull. Maybe the third's not there. Do you not understand that is a Catholic anointing? If Pentecost, Methodist, Baptist, and all that carried over into the ranks of this message, Catholicism did too somewhere. And that's one where you see it. Because we're not hoping. If you are truly in communion with God, amen. Amen. You're not hoping. You know. I'm not guessing. I'm not wondering. Hallelujah. I'm not pondering. I know that He has forgiven me of all of my sins. What does justification mean? It means to be forgiven as though you never done it in the first place. Praise God. And when you see that, then you have a voice. Then when Satan comes in with some disease in your body or your family, then like a general in the army, you can say, I dismiss you from my body. When Satan comes after your home or your kids or whatever, you can take that voice. Glory to God. Amen. You can take that spoken voice, that knowledgeable voice, that voice of wisdom, and you can talk to it. Turn them loose. Do you understand that is the very essence of divine healing itself? Is God giving people power to reverse the course of nature? When you go into a doctor's office, they lay a form in front of you, and the very first thing they ask you is about your family history. All of this stuff carries down to you. And if you ain't old enough to know that yet, just give yourself some time and you'll find out. You got your daddy's nose, your mama's ears, and your cousin's forehead. You also have their diabetes and their blood pressure and everything else. Give it time. It all carries down. Come on, somebody. Right, it all comes down. But here's the thing that we have to understand, that what was greater, the cure or the sickness? And where is that cure living? And what's that cure waiting on? Your voice. That's what James was talking about when he said, you have not because you. In other words, you ain't using your voice. Oh, he's not talking about that voice that sounds like Wilma Norrod or Homer Norrod or a Parnell or an Allen. He's talking about that spiritual voice. He's talking about that voice that said, let there be light. Let there be fish. Let the firmament separate. Let there be man. Let us make man in our own image. That eternal voice of God that created. That's the voice that speaks through the heart of the elect. Praise God. Oh my. So communion, I know He's already done it. Now that doesn't give you a license to do whatever you want to do. Because if that's in your heart, you don't have what I'm talking about in the first place. No, Christians don't live filthy lives. They live like Christians. Sure, like Christ's life. But it's a realization and a reality that I have received the abundance of grace. And because I've received the abundance of grace, and because He keeps pouring His grace out on me, then I'm just going to continue being thankful for every time He does it. You say, well, God knows how I feel. He sure does. But let me read to you what that looks like. He said years ago, he said, we'd see the old farmer. He said, sit there. And said, there'd just be this big hog sitting under the tree. He said, that old hog would get under that apple tree, and he would eat so many apples till he couldn't even grunt anymore. But he would hardly ever look up to see where his blessings were coming from. Brother Ram says, that's what happens in the Christian church. He says, the blessings are falling all around us. But we never stop and look up to see where are they coming from. God loveth a cheerful giver. You understand, the Lord doesn't want to beg us and plead us to worship. And whether you realize this or not, I'm assuming you've been taught this way. I would say you have. But if you haven't, let me teach you. When preachers come to this platform, if you think they're the ones that work the gift, you are sorely mistaken. Amen. Hey, listen, in my younger days, when the Lord first called me to preach and I was 14, I didn't have a pulpit yet, I'd go out in the woods and preach to the squirrels. Oh, listen, I've run many a prayer line for them squirrels and rabbits out there. I've had many an altar call for Mr. Turtle and Mr. Fish and Mr. Eagle and whoever would listen to me. You know, it was different out there, Brother Jerry, because it's more like praying. Until I stood before a body of people and there was a change went over me. Isn't that strange? Wow, interesting. Wonder what it could be. Years later, I found out it's because the people work the gift that's here. And how do y'all think you work that? By giving over, you know, that real casual, quiet, sweet, every great now and then, under your breath. Amen. And you get home, and I'm sure it's almost, why'd you leave that toilet seat up? Why'd you leave them socks on the floor? But then you come to church and won't mutter a word. Amen. House angel and road devil. Woo! God wants you to be just as loud here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, listen to me. Some of you older ones in here, think. We come up in an era. I did too. I come on the cusp of it, but I sure come up in an era of time around the ranks of this message where we saw the supernatural and people laying in the floor and speaking in tongues and shouting. And we come up in that time period. What do y'all think we're going to hand our kids if we turn into icicles?
Right.
What do you think our young people are going to do when they see the message of the hour producing nothing but a gigantic frown on your face all day long? And then you have the guts to say, don't you want what I want? God, no, it might be contagious.
Amen. That's right, right.
The Holy Ghost ought to bring joy.
Amen.
Even when you don't feel joyful.
That's right.
Amen. Even when you don't feel peaceable, the Holy Ghost brings peace.
Amen.
Come on, somebody, help me.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost brings exuberation.
Amen.
And it should be in your everyday life. But you come to church and you're so full of the world, you can't even grunt. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, but you know, here's the attitude. Oh, well, Brother Ben, the prophet said, don't go any higher than you can live. He's not talking about Christians. He's talking about them halfway in, halfway out, sauced up hypocrites that had drunk on the things of the world, that would go out there and live like a devil out there and then come and shout in the church house. But I'm not talking about the everyday Christian that has to repent and they're working on things and fighting things and struggling things. He's not talking about you.
Right.
When you repent, repent and come to church and shout.
Amen.
Would somebody please tell me what's wrong with that? What's wrong with coming to church and shouting and praising the Lord and getting a little bit loud? What's wrong with it?
Amen.
Nothing unless you're Antichrist. Because God likes noise.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm glad you come to church tonight. Let's turn in the Bible. Psalm 95, 2. Ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving.
Amen.
And make a joyful unto the Lord. Make it unto Him with psalms. Make it unto Him with praise. But make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Do you not understand that this is why John, when he stood there on the riverside, and Brother Jerry, when he was preaching the gospel, and those Pharisees, Sadducees, those Essenes, Herodians, and that group around him trying to shut his voice, do you understand when he was standing there that he declared to them that if you shut this group up, God is so determined that they have a voice that He will raise these rocks up here to cry out. Because the Lord has never left the earth without a witness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He doesn't want the preacher just to have a voice.
Amen.
He wants you to have a voice.
Amen.
This is a body move.
Amen.
Not a two people move, a three people move, a 12 people move. This is a body move. All of us are supposed to be a part of the body of Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, you know better than this.
Amen.
You're sitting down on me because I'm getting personal. I'm getting right deep in your heart. That's all right. That's where I want to be. But you're going to have to wake up, Fairborn, and realize Christ has placed you in here for an eternal purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have a voice. You just need to know it. Because you understand a personal, individual rapture starts from the inside before it ever comes to the body.
Amen.
And if you ever plan on getting caught up, you're going to have to get a different voice. Because as long as you speak earthly, you will always be earthly.
Amen.
Amen! But if you want to raise into the heavenlies, you're going to have to take on a heavenly language.
Amen.
Oh my.
Amen.
Okay, just a little further. Psalm 69:30. Praise the Lord. Can I get a few more minutes of your time?
Amen.
Thank you very much. 69:30. Oh, it's not that I don't think you all can take much more tonight. Can I take much more? Woo! Tell you what, the power of the Lord is about to take me away on this platform. Amen. I started getting deep about 30 minutes ago, and I felt myself going, woo! Hallelujah. Amen. 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song. He didn't even say you had to be in church for that. You can sing anywhere you want. They don't like your singing, they can close their ears. It don't bother me. Praise the Lord. And will magnify him with
thanksgiving.
It's the attitude of praise. Like my friend, you may not have known Samson Tay. He's dead now. He died about 2 or 3 years ago from Ghana, West Africa. I used to go preach for Brother Samson a lot. And Brother Parnell probably knows Brother Tay. And we went out and would go to these meetings, you know, and he was always laughing and jovial and happy until a translator got something wrong. And then that man would frown all night long. He'd get mad at them translators. The man is an interrupter, not an interpreter, he would say. But most of the time I would call him on the phone, you know, and I'd say, hey, Brother Samson. I'd say, how you doing, buddy? Too anointed to be disappointed, too blessed to be stressed. I like that.
Yeah.
It's the attitude that produces a voice.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Now, with that said, are you ready? 10 minutes maybe? Can I get 10? All right. Let's look at a couple things Brother Branham said about some stuff. Okay? I might say, this is Queen of Sheba, 1960. I might say to this audience this afternoon, how many as Christians, perhaps 95% or 100, would raise up their hands? They're Christians. As long as you believe that, all right. But the minute you begin to think you're not, that's the time you start sinking right there. That's the time your testimony is negative. Ooh, and the crowd turns ugly. So, Brother Ben, you trapped me. I see where I'm stuck now. Now you got me reeled in. I can't go nowhere. So your mind produces your thoughts, right? Because the mind and thinking is not the same thing. Your real spiritual mind produces your thoughts up here. Your thoughts will produce your words or your voice. So how you think is how you'll speak.
Right.
Hmm. No wonder the devil tries to get us in a place to always think negative.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, somebody.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Listen again, Uniting Time and Sign. He said, now I don't try to say too much on this about people complaining all the time. But I think one of the horriblest things is to see a man or woman constantly complaining. Now, this prophet of God saw a lot of horrible things, and to him, the worst was complaining. He said, I've always thought, God, keep me from it. You see, that weakens faith all the time. I know as we get older, each one of us, things are going to accumulate. He said, they've got to. But he said, the most horrible thing is for Satan to crown some person's life a crabbed old man or a crabbed old woman. Now watch, he uses experiences as a reason for this crown. When a person goes through a lot of bad, if you ain't careful, you'll see it in a wrong way, And your voice will become, why does everybody hate me? Why doesn't nobody like me? Why can't I do no better? Why, my dad said, and my mom and my uncle used to tell me. Experiences in this life will accumulate to the point to where if you're not careful, they will become the narrative and the absolute of who you are. Now I'm going to quote the church age book. Away with experiences as your plumb line.
That's right.
Away with experiences as your absolute. Because no matter what you go through in this life, it's never what you say about yourself. It's what God said about you. It's what the Word says about you. Now you can walk around and say all the time, oh, I'm scum and I'm no good and I can't do no better. You can say all that all you want, but I'll challenge you to find it in the Bible about you. Everything in Scripture is positive. You're an overcomer. You're a believer. You're a conqueror. You're... Right? Constantly positive. So where does this negative stuff come from? Uh-huh. Now watch this. In the unity of one God and church, Brother Anderson said, now these signs follow believers, not negative thinkers.
Amen.
So you can't really be a believer, thinker, believer, and be negative. So negative thoughts will produce a negative voice. So these signs shall follow them that believe. So your thoughts have to be, God said it, I believe it, that settles it.
Amen.
If you do anything else beyond that, you'll have a negative voice.
Amen.
How can you ever conquer the devil when your mind is in such a state?
Amen.
Greater than Solomon is here. We cannot get anything from God with a negative thought.
Amen.
Hear ye him. Throw aside every negative thought. He said, I see you with that stomach trouble. He said, you're nervous. He said, always taking people's troubles on yourself, crossing bridges before you get to them. They're a real deep thinker. He said, it's give you stomach trouble. He said, now go home and eat your supper. Watch this. And praise God and give him praise for it.
Amen.
Can you imagine? I told Brother Kobe today. I said, you have one opportunity to stand in the presence of a prophet of God. One opportunity to get in the prayer line before Elijah. And the advice he tells you, praise, sing, and worship, and never be negative again. Now, if you're not spiritual, you'll put up a website next week. If you're not spiritual, you become an instant critic, just like that. Because you'll think, well, this man didn't tell me nothing. He told you everything. Because as long as you can keep that testimony positive, God can anoint, glory. He can anoint, hallelujah. He can anoint that positive voice.
Amen.
And then it becomes creative. And then you see the manifestation of it in your body, your home, your family, everything.
Amen.
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 Oh my. Listen to this. Just a little further. Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham says, there are no negative thoughts in Christianity at all.
No.
You know, you can see how people are. They come up, you know, and they start church and some song leader, some poor old thing comes up there. Well, it's been raining and it's dark outside. I hate the winter time when it gets dark early. But you know, saints, with all the trouble in the world, we're the most blessed people ever was. Now, don't you feel ready to worship? Don't you feel excited? Don't you feel energized? Say, glory to God, that man lights my fire. Or is it different when somebody approaches the platform and they say, amen, saints, aren't we happy to be in church tonight?
Amen.
Uh-huh. Whether we realize it or not, we use some psychology in the pulpit. We do. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, of course. But there is an element of psychology that tries to get you out of your foul mood when you walk in here. Hey, look, of all the people I've preached to, the thousands of churches I've preached in, and the thousands of people I've preached to around the world for the last 32 years, if I let the congregations dictate to how I preach, I would be standing there and you could barely hear me whisper. Because I've had enough people in my lifetime try to shut me up that if they gave me a nickel for every one, I'd be a multi-billionaire. And I got news for you. When I see people sitting on me, all you're doing is just egging me on.
Amen.
Because if I see you set on me, I'm coming for you. I said what I said.
Amen.
Right. Because you're not supposed to come to church, and it's my job as a leader to pull you out of that funk.
Amen.
Get you thinking about God and thinking positive and understanding who you are.
Yeah.
Yes, sometimes we have to be corrected. Yes, sometimes the word has to come sharp. Yes, somebody has to burn our high. But it must be in a positive way that can bring our voice up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I feel deliverance in this place right now. Hallelujah. The voice of the bride is a positive voice. Oh, my. Even in science, when you speak positively, your cells vibrate in a positive manner. When you speak negative, your cells vibrate in a negative manner. You are producing the energy that will create or the energy that will destroy. Don't you look at me that way. That's what the Bible said. The power of life and death is where? Amen. Listen to this again. Message called Abraham. He said, I'm happy to know this one thing. He said, friend, Christianity has no negative nothing at all. Everything is absolutely positive. A man that becomes a child of God has a positive hold on Calvary, and Calvary has a positive hold on him.
Right.
I like that. He said, that's right. God took the oath himself. He said, I'll raise him up in the last day. He said, that's not no if, and, or nothing. It's something that's positive. I will raise him up in the last day. He said, if a negative thought comes by, get that off your mind right quick.
Amen.
Okay. So how do I do that again exactly? Some of y'all are picking up on it pretty quickly. Right? If a negative thought, I cannot stop it from coming to my mind. But I can sure give it a hard environment to live in when it shows up. I can't stop weeds from growing in my garden, Brother Jerry, but I can sure make it hard on them when they do. Hallelujah! That's why a child of God with praise in their mouth and worship in their lips can stop every negative thought that comes through their mind. It just squeezes and chokes the life out of it. Nobody at that church loves me. Oh, how I love Jesus. The preacher don't like me. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know, I'm convinced that after a while, even your old rotten, stinking self out here kind of gets the idea, I need to shut up. I ain't getting nowhere. Praise the Lord. That's why I believe in treating this thing. When it don't want to go to church and it tells me we're not going to church, I shut your mouth. You're not in charge. We're going to church.
That's right.
When it don't want to pray, I say, shut up. You ain't in charge. Why didn't you think you're the boss around here? Amen. That Elohim part on the inside, that's the boss.
That's it.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
All right, now listen, last statement, let's quit. He said, don't think you sitting there in that wheelchair that you're hopeless and you're helpless. Don't never let a negative thought anchor. You can't help it from going through your mind, but don't let it stop. I was telling brother today, you imagine the reality that the Apostle Paul came to when he wrote Romans chapter 7. These first century Christians did not know what the Holy Ghost was or how it reacted on a human. They spent that first 40 years or 50 years or whatever it was learning what it meant to be a God-man. Nobody had ever experienced it before. Nobody. And then Paul pens the words, the good I would, I don't do, the stuff I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I find then a law that worketh in these members. I imagine it must have been as great a revelation to Brother Branham when something stopped him one day and he realized, of all the battles we fight, this is the greatest battle that's ever been fought. And is it any wonder that as God built up the church ages and started at the feet in Ephesus and worked his way all up to the tongue in Laodicea 1906, and then it came up into Malachi 4 and 5, the eyes or the prophet or the seer of the age.
Right.
And then from there, His ministry ended. Brother Branham's ministry was a ministry to the Pentecostal people. Our messenger was not Brother Branham. Our messenger was Jesus Christ in Brother Branham. His message was what led us plumb into the promised land. And folks said, stop at just William Branham. And they all they see is Brother Branham. And every time they come to church, they're telling all the stories of Brother Branham. And they've told him a gazillion times. And the people have heard him a gazillion times. And then we wonder why they sit out there dead asleep. You know what's interesting? Nobody has slept on me tonight. You know why? I've got something, by the grace of God, I've got something to say. And you want to hear what's being said. Why? Because this is the mind part. The intelligence is the last thing to come to activate the entire body.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And who better to have the mind of Christ than the people of the last day that inherit the mind of God without reservation?
Amen.
Folks are looking for Brother Bram to come back, set up a tent, shoot a bear. Folks are looking for a new message to arise from somebody's cardboard box in their garage that they had from the 50s. People are looking on some new big church to raise up or some big ministry to take us on. They've completely missed the picture. And frankly, they're caught right there in them dark ages down through there. Because the elect that comes up into this real revelation of the open word, they know in their heart, no man takes them there. Because when the door was opened up, there was one voice. Said, John, come on up. Hallelujah. He entered right into that room, and who was in there? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. He wasn't a Trinity. He wasn't a Twinity. It was God himself. And if there are any other gods anywhere, well, they were sitting on the floor. As the Bible said, he saw one sitting on the throne. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And out of him burst forth rainbow colors round about the throne. What did that round about mean? It meant the revelation was totally complete. It was completed and finished.
Amen.
And this very same John comes right out of the throne room and comes right back down in time. And he sees the angel coming with the rainbow above his head. But the revelation wasn't complete when the angel brought it. You know why? The match part was on the earth.
Amen.
Because the seventh angel could preach it. But it took John getting a hold of that book.
Amen.
And saying, this is mine.
Amen.
Because without you seeing who you are. Listen to what he said in the rapture message. When the bride recognizes who she is, that's when the rapture will come. Right? Because that's when it's completed.
Amen.
Friends, well, the rapture is already in progress for many of us.
Amen.
Right here, sitting in heavenly places, the rapture is already catching us away.
Amen.
But we're waiting on something more. What is that? For the voice to change this. This is the last thing that shall be destroyed. Death.
Amen.
And I imagine one of them days you'll be standing in front of the mirror, them gray hairs, and you're looking at them, man. Whew. Boy. And all of a sudden, you'll feel a sharp pain go over you. Whew. And you'll hear orders from headquarters. It's time to speak.
Amen.
And you will say to your body, change.
Amen.
And the very fibers of your being will have to obey your voice.
Amen.
Stand with me. Praise the Lord. So, happy Thanksgiving, bride.
Amen.
You see, because it becomes a tradition with people, you know? Just like at Thanksgiving time. Some people throw a turkey on the table and they do certain things because that's the tradition of what we do. Just like they do in church. If it's an altar call, they always come for the altar call. And you know, if it's some kind of a certain thing and they have to do a certain movement, everybody follows that movement. That's one reason I don't mind it when people clap together in unison. It's all right. But you know, there's something very sneaky about that. You see these churches that all applaud in unison? There's something very sneaky when that happens. Because, you know, it's really, really easy for someone that ain't living right to applaud. They can do that at a ball game. There's no harm, no foul, so to speak. Excuse my pun, but there we are. But when it comes to really being in worship to God, and the word is coming forth, and you're hollering glory to God. Hallelujah! That's a different commitment than just applauding in unison one with another. You see, the Lord has always believed in corporate worship. Always. You say, where's that at? Where two and three are gathered, I will be right there in the midst. And God has always believed in corporate worship. He always wants us to come together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even more so as you see the day approaching. Because you don't realize, you sitting in that pew out there, you person that thinks you don't have anything to do for God and how invisible and nobody knows who you are, you don't know. But that fella sitting across from you, or that sister sitting in the pew by you, when you're worshiping God and creating an atmosphere, you don't know that that person that walked in the door suicidal, depressed, feeling like giving up on life, but what your creation of an atmosphere brings them out of that. You don't know, but you have performed Mark 16 and cast out devils off of these people by just simply being in worship. And let's get down to the rubber meeting the road. One reason people don't get saved, one reason they don't get born again, one reason they don't receive the Holy Ghost is because we do not create an atmosphere when we walk in these doors. That's why when you walk in these doors, all the nonsense stops. This is not a place to socialize. This is not a place to cut up and pass notes and all these other things. This is a house of worship. Let's bow our heads together, can we? Now, with your heads bowed, I'd just like to just ask this question. For those of you that maybe while you're standing here tonight, you just say, you know, Brother Ben, quite honestly, you've hit me between the eyes. And I know I need to fix this. I can feel the Lord dealing with me. I can see the Lord dealing with me, and I know that I'm not in the place I should be. I want you to know, if you raise your hand up in just a moment, it's between me and you and Jesus. I'm not going to go run around telling this one did that one did this. And I won't think any less of any one person in here, be it from all the way up here, from me and Brother Nate, all the way down to the janitors and the little kids, whoever you might be that would say, Brother Ben, I need help with this. I need God to move on me for this. I want you to raise your hand to the Lord and tell Him, Lord Jesus, I want you to help me because I'm not in the right attitude of worship. My mind is negative all the time. I'm constantly living in that negative world. And it's producing, you realize it's producing all kinds of things around you. You don't know how to stop it? Well, you got your answer tonight. Change the voice and you change the atmosphere. And you'd just like to raise your hand to the Lord tonight and say, Brother Ben, pray for me. Pray for me that I can be different. God bless you, each hand. Several going up, many going up, actually. I'm glad to see it because you're being honest. Thank you for being honest. Now, I wonder tonight, if you're not saved, maybe you're just a sinner and you're not really saved, but you want to give your heart to the Lord tonight, would you like to raise your hand up to the Lord and say, pray for me, Brother Ben. I feel the Lord in my heart that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I want to be saved tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else would like to put their hand up? I'm a sinner tonight and I want to be saved. I just want Jesus to wash me of my sins. God bless you. Somebody else would like to raise their hand to the Lord? God bless you. That's brave of you. Very nice of you. You just claim it now. You just claim your faith. And you raise your hand, the Lord sees it. Hallelujah. You just believe it now. Just claim it. Hold it in your heart. Let that faith carry you somewhere. Say, well, are you going to pray for me? I will in just a moment. I sure will. And if you haven't been baptized in Christian baptism, there's plenty of these brothers here to be happy to baptize you. Maybe you're a backslider in here tonight. You need to be restored to the Lord. You'd like to raise your hand to Christ and say, Lord, I've been gone and cold and away from you for so long. I may have been coming to church even, but I'm certainly not living a Christian life. and I need to get my life right with the Lord. Would you like to raise your hand to the Lord? God bless you, you, and you, somebody else. God bless you. God bless you. Don't be ashamed now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Praise the Lord. God bless you and you. Different hands going up. I like that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, for you believers that's baptized with the Holy Ghost, I want you to help me pray now, okay? Many, many, many hands went up for different needs. I want you to help me pray. Let's ask the Lord together to help them, can we? Now, you help me create the atmosphere. You've heard me preach. Use your voice. Use that creative voice of God and speak. Heavenly Father, we come before Thy beloved holy throne. Lord Jesus, in this building tonight, there was a bevy of hands that went up, a host of different people raising their hands, asking, Lord, for salvation. They're backslidden and they want to be restored. Some wanting freedom from negative thinking and negative thoughts. Others that are trying to be different in their ways of approaching worship, and they want freedom in those areas. Father, whatever it is that they have need of tonight, Thou art mindful and You see all things. Lord, I pray from the very depth of my soul and heart that, Lord, You would go out there, move Your presence right deep into their hearts. If they're lost today and they see the need of salvation, may You save them today, Lord. May they accept You as their Savior, You being the God that can wash them of their sins and free them from their sin and can give them a start on a fresh road. As Your prophet said, laying here, may Calvary get a positive hold on them and they get a positive hold on Calvary. Because, Lord, the first step to receiving Your Holy Ghost is we must recognize we are sinners and we need a Savior. Save those ones that were lost tonight, Lord, that wanted a Savior. Lord, You be that Savior to them, I pray. For those that are backslid, restore them, we pray in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, for every saint of God in here that's helping me pray, Lord, I pray for them that You would endue them with power from on high, that You give them the strength to continue fighting and pressing and battling and struggling until the power of the Holy Ghost can bring each and every single one of them into a higher realm of thinking. May every negative thought disperse from us. May every negative thinking leave this building right now. May the power of the devil through the power of our mind, may it be broken tonight. And may the Holy Ghost, I pray, move into this place. And may You dispel from every myth, from every lie, from every fictitious thing that the brain and the mind is holding on to, thereby the heart and soul and spirit holding on to that, creating that energy around them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. May the power of that devil be broke tonight. Lord, may they receive freedom. May every fetter fall off of them. And may every chain be loosed. Grant it, my Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And may every believer receive the freedom of the Holy Ghost. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Now it's time to practice. Now, let's thank the Lord for what He's done tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all right. Clap if you feel led to clap. Just let it be a clap of worship, not just some formal thing. Hallelujah. Everybody now, everybody, help me worship. Come on. I'm inviting you. I'm not demanding you. I'm not making you. I'm inviting you. Come worship with me. Come worship the Lord. If you got hands, put them up. If you got a mouth, use it. If you got eyes, look to Him in that realm. Whatever feeling you got, whatever emotion you got, give it to Jesus tonight. And say, Lord, I just want to give You some worship in this place. I just want to give You some glory in this place. Hallelujah. Let's not be like that little hog now and eat all this evening and not look up and thank You for where these blessings come from. Thank You, my Lord. Thank You, my Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for health. Thank You for strength. Thank You for life, Lord. Thank You for the great things You do for us. Thank You for victory, Lord. Thank you for power over diseases. Thank you for all the blessings you've laid. Thank you for the love we have in our families. Thank you, Lord, for the love in the church. Thank you for men of God. Thank you for the people of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, Lord, for your revelation. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. The musicians will come. Let's sing a little bit before we turn it back. Praise be to God. You love him?
Amen.
Did this help you tonight?
Yes.
Good. I told you it'd be a little tough, but here. But I love you.
Amen.
I don't preach things because I hate people. I preach it because I love them. Amen. Let's sing that little song, I Keep Falling in Love with Him.
Yeah.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love. As the days end, oh, what a love between. So glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad. One of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say, and I like this verse right here. Welcome, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart with sin and will start the joy bells ringing and will give sweet peace within. It is burning now within my heart. All glory to his name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'll sing it now. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad. One of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad. One of them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, it's 9:46 for the clock watchers. Now, you just remember, I quit at 9:46. Amen. Amen. I know it's a little long, but it ain't going to hurt you. All right, got two fingers? Put your two fingers up like this right here. Got it? Now, put them on your neck like that. Can you feel your pulse? Are you still beating? Take a big breath. You still breathing? Good, good, good. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, my years of church, we used to stay half the night. Sure did. And I got to get up early too, so I ain't right. Amen. I just pick it on you. I'm in the same shape. Amen. But we love the Lord. Can I say what a privilege it was to come here? Brother Nate, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much.
Amen.
Appreciate you and this church for allowing us to come. Amen. God bless Brother Parnell and Brother the Covey brothers. Amen. Amen. Jeff, Brother Jerry in Little Bethlehem, all of the saints from Little Bethlehem. I'm so I just can't begin to explain what it does to my heart. You know, for many, 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 many years, when it come to this message, the state of Ohio State in the awfulest mess you've ever seen in your life. And now God is allowing us to come back together, fellowship as brothers, sisters in the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
If I could encourage anybody to do any one thing at all, keep that going. Don't let that die in this area out here.
Amen.
Keep the fellowship going.
Yes.
As you know, Satan takes that away from us and he's stolen all the power, because where there's unity, there's power.
Amen.
We divided, one believes this, one that thing. We've done that stuff for years in this state. And I believe the Holy Ghost has broken a lot of those borders and barriers down from us.
Amen.
Don't start it again. You stay right there in fellowship one with another.
Amen.
And I'll do anything I can to help you in any way I can. And I appreciate the opportunity to come. And I hope I didn't wear my welcome out tonight. Amen. Did I do okay?
Amen.
Hey, listen.
Amen.
That's all right. If the pastor says so, amen, then we're in good shape. Amen. Amen. We love you, friends. God bless you very much. Now, Brother Eric, you come finish? Okay, all right. Remember, I quit at 9:46.
Bless you, brother. He's giving you a warning. From glory unto glory.
Thank you, sister.
He's changing me. That's how I know good preaching. It brings me a little bit higher and a little bit higher until a little bit higher. Finally, one day we'll hear that last message. It's got us so high, we're just going to get out of here. Oh, it's so good. You know, you can picture how Brother Ben preaches, boy. I'm that other personality, you know. He's got this big personality, and you can picture him coming and see me this afternoon, coming to the door, hallelujah, glory, I'm here, you know. And I'm the type of guy kind of, hey, anybody in? You know, but, you know, God has a bouquet. And I was thinking about that, and I'm not a really exciting kind of person. But I'm that for sure horse that you're going to want to ride, you know. And I was thinking, the first time I stepped into these doors here, the Lord led me here. That's why I know I was at the right place. And little did I know, this guy would come down and say, hey, you know you're preaching tonight. And little did I know, we would form a good friendship. And that he would trust me. And it's not so much him trusting me, because I don't trust me. But it's the guy on the inside that you can trust. And, you know, I was thinking about that little journey I've had with God. And the closer you get to him, the more meek and the more humble, but the more exciting and things can get to. And I remember years ago just, you know, having road rage or things like that in the natural. And, you know, get out of my way and burr, you know, not the friendly burr, burr. And then after walking with the Lord for a while, I kind of got rid of the road rage, and I had a little case of the Go-Man-Gees, you know? Anybody have the Go-Man-Gees? Nobody knows what, let me tell you what the Go-Man-Gees are. It's not the get out of my way, you know? It's the when you're sitting at the light, and you got one car in front of you, and they're normally on their cell phone, and all at once you got places to go, people to see, things to do. And you're waiting on that light, but that guy's got to go before you can go. You know, he's got to get out of your way. And so I slowed down. Instead of the brr, I would just sit there, and the light would turn. I'd see him still kneeling down with a cell phone, and I'd go, go! In my car, I'm like, go! And then he still isn't going. I'm like, man! And then he finally looks up, and he starts to go. I'm like, jeez! You know? So those are the go man G's, you know. And I still get them every once in a while. But I can tell you, there's just nothing like the presence of the Lord. But there ain't nothing like the presence of the devil either. You don't want him around. I was telling Ben, we were sitting there in my house, and I worked hard on building this house. And it's my house, and it's my home. It's my place. And then Satan, he's like, well, I've got a place. I've got a whole Eden. This is Satan's Eden. And but I told Brother Ben, I said, no matter how much I own this house, worked for this house, and that's my place at the head of the table, my dad can walk in. Suddenly, here, Dad, you take the head of the table. You know, and I can tell you what, if his dad was still alive and walked in the door, he'd say, hey, Dad, here, this is your place. So what I'm getting at is Satan may think he owns this Eden here, but when we step into his house, right, we have the authority. Right. So it no more belongs to him no more. Right. So one of these days, Satan's house is going to be burnt down, and he'll be bound for 1,000 years, no more to do anything to us. But I appreciate the opportunity. I was thinking from the time I came into these doors a couple years ago, little did I know we would have 15 or 20 of these services like this, and the Lord willing, we'll have many more, because I am blessed. I'm truly blessed. I'm blessed with, when I went into the hospital, Brother Eric, Brother Nate, want me to come down and sit with you? You know, I think, man, what a friend. What a friend. And like the song says, what a friend we have in Jesus. When we look at Jesus, who are we looking at? Yeah. Man. Well, God bless you tonight. I'm going to have Brother Nate come up. I would sing and I would talk for another hour, but you guys may not like Brother Kobe the next time I come. So, but God, may God richly bless and keep you. Thank you for coming, and I hope you that you were blessed. And take this message with you. Become the living word. Come on, Brother Nate.
Amen. We're not going to stay for another 45 minutes. But just in way of announcements now, Jeremiah and I just got back from San Diego, and we'll talk about this here Sunday with our church. I didn't want to take the time tonight. Usually when we come back from a trip, we'll sit and talk about it. But there was so much to do tonight that I thought, well, we won't worry about San Diego. That was last week. And we'll go forward.
As far as an announcement, this next Wednesday we're having another special meeting here. Brother Alex is coming. And then Brother Ben is going to be at Brother Jerry's this coming Sunday. Right?
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, so Kofi's coming back. And he's bringing some more ammo. It's good to have you all. Thank you all for coming. We want to sing Thank You, Lord, since we're talking about Thanksgiving, and as we get ready to close out, and take this message with you. Yes. Be thankful. I've always told the congregation, I said, I never see anything negative in the Bible when it talks with God's promises, what he's given to the bride, what he's talking to us about. He's never been negative in one scripture. And if we're going to talk after the word, you can't be negative.
That's right.
You've got to be positive, because that's all he's got. That's all the word's got for you, is to be positive. So we need to do it, and do it with Thanksgiving. And so don't forget to come back on Sunday for us, Sunday for you, Wednesday for you, and any other time you all want to come, you all are welcome. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for how you've been so good to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank
just want to thank you, Lord.
You're dismissed.
Thank